to me, but I think God speaks to me. And so last night I didn't sleep very much, and I'm glad I didn't. Sometimes when I go to a meeting, I don't sleep much because I'm running scripture through my mind. I really believe God put a message on my heart last night for this church. So I hope you'll be in prayer. What I want to talk about is the usefulness and the practicality of the Word of God. The usefulness, the practicality of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to start out with a quote that David Powell's made. David's written a book called The Principles of Practice. It's a very good book. I've just got through proofreading it. Hope you get it out pretty soon. So he made a statement in that book. I've gotten some gleanings from that. And here's what he said. I'm going to got a reason for saying this. Get now, I want to talk about the usefulness and practicality of the Word of God. But he, Paul, David says, was an absolute master of the Word of God as demonstrated by all he wrote. And here, now get this. Here's what I want. Y'all paying attention to me? You young people too? He acquired the traits that always accompany assimilation of the Word. You think about this. So you may be reading your Bibles, but you may not really be in your Bibles. I'm hoping tonight you want to really be in your Bibles. You know, we could just run it through our mind for a Bible study, or maybe say we got our chapters out of the way. I'm talking about if you're really in the Word of God, here's what happens, and it does happen. So listen to this. He said these are the traits that always accompany assimilation of the Word, namely confidence, boldness, resilience, and resolve, things desired by all men, and which they soon learn to feign but do not easily make real. So I believe that. If you're in the Word of God, you'll have confidence, boldness, resilience, and resolve. Sometimes we are cowards. The reason we're cowards is we're not in the Word of God. The Word of God will make us strong. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:16 that God would strengthen us by His Spirit in the inner man. He does that through applying the Word of God to our hearts in the inner man. Now, I'm going to go kind of slow tonight because I want to help the translator out back there. And I want you to turn with some scripture with me, and I want you to help me a little bit. I'm going to give you a verse here. I want you to help me fill it out because I've got a point in this. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. You've heard this lots of times. Listen to this now. I want to emphasize something. Okay, I'm going to emphasize something here. Ready? As newborn babes desire the sensitive milk of the Word, finish it for me. Come on, finish it. Don't y'all know your Bibles? Finish it. Finish it for me. That you may grow thereby. That's what I want. That's why we want the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. Friends, if the Word of God is not changing us, we're not in it right. If we're not growing, we're not in it right. So think about it. As newborn babes, and we got some newborn babies here, and I'm sure they really like that milk. And I mean, when they get hungry, they let you know about it, right? But see, as newborn babes desire the sensitive milk of the Word. Why? To satisfy your curiosity, that they may grow thereby. Okay? Let's go to another very famous scripture over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We love this, but we usually don't emphasize the last part that I want to emphasize tonight. Okay, ready? All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable, and the Word of God is profitable. Do you believe that, brethren? It's profitable. Some people say the Word of God is not very practical. It's very practical. It's very profitable. If we're not profiting, it's our own fault. We're not in it enough. I believe most of us are not in it enough. I already believe that. We live in a very busy age, and we got all kinds of distractions. We're not in the Word of God enough. And it's impossible to be spiritually strong if we're really in the Word of God. We're going to be a superficial Christian, an immature Christian, if we're not in the Word of God. In my church at Grace Chapel, I can tell you who the Bible readers are. I can tell them by their lives. When I just got through preaching through Revelation, one of my members studied as hard as I did. He bought commentary, he studied as hard as I did, and he's growing. Some people just one ear and not the other, kind of come to church on Sunday, hear the sermon, don't follow through, don't listen to it anymore, and they don't get much out of it. So let's go to this again now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now you have me with this, that the amount of God may be perfect, what? Thoroughly furnished to every good work. That's what the Bible, you know, we like to talk about inspiration, don't we? I love to talk about inspiration. But a lot of the time, we don't follow through. The Bible is inspired, so we are in the Word of God, that we might be perfectly furnished to every good work. That is, we might become mature Christians. All right, let's go to another one. Look over in the book of James, chapter 1. James makes a big point here. Because this is a real danger for church members like we are. See, I've been around the church all my life. I've been around preaching all my life, and it's easy to just kind of take it for granted. and just, I've gone to church, I've heard the Word of God, but I'm not really in the Word of God. See, that's easy to do that, isn't it? And you know what? You think when you go to church, you hear the Word of God, you've done everything God wants you to do. That's the beginning. Let me prove it to you. Ready? And the wise man and the foolish man. Remember the wise man and the foolish man? I know you kid, don't you? I'm seeing some head shaking. The wise man heard the Word of God, and the foolish man heard the Word of God too. But the wise man did something about it. Isn't that good? See, both of them heard. So here two guys went to church. Mr. Wise Man over here. Mr. Foolish Man over here. Both of them sat there and heard the Word of God. So both of them went home feeling good. Even the foolish man went home feeling good. But he didn't put it into practice. So God's Word said he's a foolish man. When the trial of life come, he cannot stand up to them like the man who put them into practice. Okay? So let's go to James. James is going to tell us the same thing in chapter 1. I'll read two or three verses. Let's read verse 22. James chapter 1. Verse 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25. This is a wonderful chapter. I have to break into the context. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How about that? If I only hear the word of God, and I'm not doing it, I'm deceiving myself. So we think we're doing well. See, we're doing better than the man that don't go to church, aren't we? We may say to ourselves. I'm hearing the word of God. I'm hearing a sermon. But he said, if I do the word of God, I mean hear the word of God and don't do it, I'm deceiving my own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, he's looking into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, the perfect law of liberty, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we're doing the Word of God. Now, let me get back to my topic. The usefulness and practicality of the Word of God. Now, let me go to a couple more scriptures, and I guess somebody's going to talk about it. Look over in Colossians 3:16. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. This is a powerful verse. You know, the whole Bible is the inspired Word of God, but some of it is concentrated. You know how you get this orange juice, concentrated orange juice? And you got to put 4 or 5 cans of water with it, or it'd be too strong, would it? Who wants to eat a concentrated orange juice? But, brother, some of the Word of God is concentrated. And this is one of those verses that's concentrated. Let's look at this. Over in Colossians 3:16. If you don't get anything else tonight beside this, remember Colossians 3:16. Remember Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ, get this, dwell in you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How about that? Isn't that concentrated? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. That means it's got to be thinking about it. Got to be in my memory. Got to be in my mind. Got to be meditating on it. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Isn't that great? Now, one more. Then I'm gonna get out. I think that when I get through laying the foundation, I got some things I think you'll be very interested in. I got some personal experiences I want to talk to you about. But over in Psalm 19, verse 11. Psalm 19, verse 11. 19. That's a great psalm. The first half of it is talking about creation. Second half is talking about the Word of God. It's a great psalm. I've got it memorized. A lot of y'all know it. So Psalm 19. But I want to get only one verse talking about the Word of God there. And talking about the commandments of God and in keeping of them, there's much profit. How about that? In keeping them, there's much profit. We might be tempted to say, well, so what? But God's Word said, in keeping of them, there's much profit. So I hope you got my point. We got to be much in the Word of God if it's going to be effective in our lives. And there are lots of ways to do that. Like, I'm going to tell you what I've been doing lately. See, I like to read the Bible in the morning. But I'll admit to you, when I read it, I get these wonderful thoughts. I got a thought here. That's a great thought. I read another chapter, that's a great thought, but I've now forgot the chapter, thought I had the other chapter. I'm not like Brother David Powell with a photographic memory. I'm just an average guy. So I've been reading Proverbs, and I get in Proverbs, I said, man, that is great over there in Proverbs. And so then I get to the next chapter, and I say, that's great also. Then I forgot what was the other chapter. So what I decided to start doing, lately I've been doing that, is just, I'm just stopping. I say, I'm going to write down two or three thoughts I get out of my Bible reading and carry around with me all day long. And there's one thought, this is kind of off the subject in a way, but just give you an example of what I'm talking about. I read the other day in Proverbs chapter 16, and I got a tremendous thought. I never had this thought before. This is Proverbs 16. Now, I'm just giving an example of what I do sometimes. Hope maybe you'll do it. I'm trying to not let the Word of God slip away from me. I'm reading it, but I want to remember it. So I'm reading in Proverbs chapter 16. I read verse 23. I never had thought about this like this, the same way. The heart of the wise, the heart, the inner man, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, addeth learning to his lips. That's just like a New Testament scripture, isn't it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you know what that told me? Brother David, if I'm going to talk right, I got to work on my heart right first, right? Get my heart right, my mouth will be okay. If I try to work on my mouth first, that is going to be superficial. But if I work on my heart, get my heart right. So I love that. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and learning to his lips. So that's some ways we can, and some other things I do too. Let me just say that I've got the best wife in the world. Y'all know that, what a good wife that Judy is. And sometimes, Roger, I'll fuss at my own wife. Ain't that something? I hope you don't fuss at Dawn. You probably don't. But sometimes I get out of sort until, you know what I do? I'm serious about this. I'll write down a scripture and put it in my pocket, Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. That's how you use the Word of God. Remember it. Remember it. Say it over and over. Husband, love your wives. Christ also loved the church. We all, and children, when you get maybe where you're not doing what you ought to be doing, children, obey your parents to the Lord. This is right. We can use the Word of God. That's what we ought to be doing. Now, I'm going to finish off my sermon with talking about one verse and some of my experiences. This is a great verse, Psalm 119, verse 50. I may have preached on that now here before. I don't really care if I have, because you've probably forgotten about it. And if you hadn't forgotten about it, you need it anyway. Listen, let me tell you something. God, the Holy Spirit, can bring the exact portion of the Word of God you need in your life when he wants to do that. You ought to have your mind stored in the Word of God, and you'll be amazed what God can do with that. I'm going to give you some examples, okay? Now, here's the verse. This ought to encourage you as you come to church to hear the sermons, also as you read the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. That word quickened means revived. Now, get that. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. I'm going to tell you some examples. I hope this will make some of you think about some examples you've had. All right, here we go. Ready? One time when God spoke to me through his word, and here's what it was. Brother Bobby Poe, many years ago, in fact, by the way, Bobby and I were ordained 47 years ago, April the 9th. I called him up. It's hard to believe it's been that long. Okay, Brother Bobby Poe, we were members of a Whitehaven Primitive Baptist Church, and Brother Bobby wanted to start a church out in East Memphis. He said, Brother Zach, will you come help me start this church? And I didn't want to do it. I had a lot of fun where I was. We had a real active church at Whitehaven. Hassel was with our pastor. I was having a lot of fun. But I said, I'll pray about it. I did pray about it. So guess what happened? God spoke to me. Here's how he did it. I go down to Pine Hill Primitive Baptist Church, add up to a meeting. Forgot about my prayer. Been a week or two since I prayed that prayer. I go down to Pine Hill Primitive Baptist Church for a meeting. Avery Land's preaching. Now, Avery Land was a good preacher. Tommy, you remember him? Now, he was a shotgun preacher, but he was a good shotgun preacher. Some shotgun preachers are not good. They scatter too much. Avery was a pretty good shotgun preacher. So I go to Whitehaven. I go to Pine Hill Church, and I get in there, and Brother Land quotes a text I did not know was in the Bible. You listen to this. Now, here you are. You're me. Put yourself in my shoes. Somebody has asked you, will you please come help me start this church in a new ground, breaking new territory. And so I hear this. Romans 15:20. Paul said, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. I almost went home without hearing the rest of the sermon. I knew God had spoken to me. I said, Brother Bobby, I'm ready to go. Let me read that again. Paul said, I have strived to preach the gospel where Christ hadn't been named, lest I should be on another. In other words, I start new works. Bobby Poland started new work. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. I guess I read it before. I didn't realize it was in there. Now, some more experiences I've had. I'm going to tell you a few of my experiences now, so pay attention. I may quit before you think I will. One time I got real spiritually cold. That's not the only just one time. You have too, if you tell the truth. We get spiritually cold. We have a struggle because we're sinners. And so don't feel like you're the Lone Ranger if you get spiritually cold. So one day I was just spiritually cold, and I had a thought, just a thought. The thought was, memorize the Roman letter. And that thought sent me on an upward spiral. I got my Bible out. I never did do the whole letter. I just got the first three chapters. Then I got chapter 8, and I got some scattered verses, but at least I got a start. But you know what? That changed me right there. So maybe you ought to start something like that. If you're spiritually cold, why don't you start a project? It may be some short passage if you don't want to do the Roman letter. But the very thought I had Memorize the Romans letter. See, because, friend, we're either going down or going up. We're not staying static. It's kind of like pushing a canoe, paddling canoe upstream. If we're paddling that canoe upstream, we are going upstream, you know, this whole life. The minute we quit paddling, we start drifting back down again. So that's an experience I had. All right. Let me tell you about another one. I got cold again. Y'all going to think I get cold all the time, but I was. I did Clanton, Kentucky. The Lord used my wife and me to start a church up there back in the early 70s in Clanton, Kentucky. Here again, I got out of fellowship with God. Judy had gone to Memphis to stay a few days with her parents. I'm at Clinton, and I was just miserable. I was just out of fellowship with God. I was miserable. Have you ever been there? I'll tell you how bad it was. It's kind of like over in Deuteronomy. They say, in the morning, I wish it's night. Night, I wish it's morning. You ever been that miserable? See, in the morning, I wish it's night so I could go to sleep. I don't want to face the day. But at night, I don't. I wish I could. I'm kind of afraid of the night. So the picture of a miserable individual, that's where I was. Guess what we got me out of it? The Holy Spirit brought Scripture to my mind. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what I did? I jumped out of bed. I remember my knees hitting that cold linoleum that had an old cheap linoleum floor, this rented house we were in. And brother, about an hour later, I came up off that floor, and I was changed. The Lord did that. See, that scripture, I read it lots of times. So you ought to pray, God, bring some scripture to my heart with great power. God can do that. I'll never forget that. Okay. David Powell played a part in this too. I was supposed to go to India on a trip. Jeff Harris and I were supposed to go to India on a trip. Then 9-1-1 happened. In fact, I tell you, it's kind of dramatic the way I found out about that. Judy and I had flown to Georgia, to Atlanta, to talk to Jeff and Donna about making plans for this trip. And so then when we're on our way down to South Georgia in his car, his truck, as we got to the airport, the cell phone rang. And one of his kids said, Daddy, turn the radio on. And we heard the terrible thing that happened on the World Trade Towers. Got down to Jeff's house, got on the television set, and saw the whole mess. And we couldn't fly back to Memphis because, as you remember those days, they grounded all the flights for a week or so. Remember that? And so I had to get to David McAvell's ordination down in Texas, so it's kind of, we had to have just relays with cars, people just going and kind of playing tag team with cars. We finally got down to David's. But the point I'm making is this. I didn't know where to go to India or not. Some people said, Brother Zach, don't go. This is crazy, man. You know what's going to happen? But then other guys said, don't be a coward. You ought to go anyway. So if the government had said we couldn't go, because we could not have gone. They didn't do that. They never just say, you can't travel. So here I'm in a quandary. What should I do? Now, what would you think? What would you have done if you had been in my shoes? Think about that a minute. You're going to India, and they have the World Trade Tower, and then the world may go to war, and people are afraid of terrorists. What would you have done? I didn't know what to do. God spoke to me through the Word of God. I'm down at Huntsville, Alabama, at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church. David Powell and I spent the night at the same place, and as usual, we stayed up too late talking. We talked and talked and talked. So the next day, I'm on the front bench, and David's in the stand, and David starts preaching. And David, I'm sorry, I almost went to sleep on you. It wasn't because it wasn't a good sermon, but I pinched him inside my leg, all kinds of stuff, trying to stay awake. But nothing was working. And I don't remember what David's preaching on, but I'll never forget this as long as I live and have a sound mind. In the middle of his sermon, you don't know why you did this. Only God did this. Let me tell you what listen, you think about where I was at. I was in a quandary. What am I going to do? And he read this scripture. Had nothing to do with his subject. Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall settle thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. When I read that, when he said much people, I began to weep. I knew what, and I went to India. God, isn't that amazing? Don't be afraid to go. Nobody's going to hurt you. I've got much people in this city. You get on down there. So see, God speaks through his servants. And then when we went to India, of course, I was scared to death. So God gave me, so I'm doing my scripture reading on the airplane. I'm reading the Bible on the airplane. Just doing daily Bible reading. I'm in Isaiah. And all of a sudden, God locked this one on my heart, and I quoted the whole, for I'm with thee, be not dismayed, for I'm thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? So my friend, God can take a scripture and bring it to your heart. All right, now I'm just going to give you one or two more. So Dave, you get ready here. Let me give you one or two more experiences I've had. All right, now this one, I'm going to have to just admit something here. I'm going to have to admit to being a sinner. Kind of hate to do that. That probably surprised y'all, doesn't it, though I'm a sinner. Now, I'm not proud of this. But I'm going to tell you something. I used to drink beer. I'm not proud of that. I don't anymore. It's been a long time since I drank any beer. But the devil would like, you know, get all of us. So here I am one day in my office, a preacher of the gospel, ordained minister of the gospel, sitting in my office under a lot of pressure. And all of a sudden, I got the idea, buddy, you need to get you a 16-ounce can of Budweiser. And I just panicked. I didn't want to do it. But I know myself. I knew I was going to do it. I tried everything. I tried to pray. It didn't work. I tried to sing some songs. It didn't work. And I had it planned out. I'm going to go down to a part of town that nobody knows me, get me a big old Bud and drink it, and that's what I'm going to do. But guess who saved me? The Lord saved me. Because he brought the Word of God in my heart. Guess what scripture came to my mind? Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. I pick up the phone. I call Mike Rogers. Because I said, Mike, I'm fixing to do something I shouldn't do. I told him what it was. I said, I'm confessing to you. I said, you call me within an hour, make sure I'm all right. And Tommy, I never did take that drink. The Holy Ghost did that, Herb. He brought that to my mind. The Lord can bring scripture to your mind to also save you from sin. Isn't that wonderful? We got a big old Bible, 66 books, but we just need a certain verses at a certain time. God can give those verses to us. Now, one more experience, I'm through. I'm in India again, and I'm riding the Jeep with Brother Gunnell. And I think maybe Timothy and Isaac were there. I think we were all there. I forgot who all was there. Herb, I think you were on this trip. I'm pretty sure you were. I know you were. So all of a sudden, the devil, you know, we brethren, we are in spiritual warfare, whether we realize it or not. Here I am, a minister of the gospel, trying to preach to these poor people in India. And as we're riding down the road, nobody knew what was going on but me. It's inside battle. All of a sudden, I saw my unworthiness. I saw how sorry I am. Every sin I ever committed came before my mind. I said, my God, I can't preach. I can't even hardly talk. I cannot preach. What am I going to do? See, nobody knew this was going on. About 15 minutes, I was struggling with myself. And again, bless the Holy Spirit. He always uses the Word of God. He brought a scripture to my mind. I wasn't even sure where it was, but here's what it said. And the expression came to my mind, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, who would stand? And I was okay. I was okay. Because God does not mark iniquities for his children. So then I finally found that. It's over in Psalm 130, verse 3, and I had it almost just like it was. If thou, O Lord, that's 130 in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And I mean, I'll tell you instantly, my burden was gone. So, listen, friends, the Word of God works. But you got to be in it. You got to saturate yourself in it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate on it. We need to think about it. We need to read it. We live in an information age. We got too many devices that people use all the time. I'm going to kind of get on your toes a little bit, probably. But I got irritated with one of my boys the other day. He loves me. He's a great Christian boy, but he got a smartphone. And Tommy, the smartphone, gets presents over me. It's rude. He sits there and looks at that blame smartphone all the time. I'm trying to talk to him. He doesn't hear what I'm saying. And so we have so much information coming in right now. If we don't know how to be quiet and have deep time with God and the Word of God. I want to encourage you, have some quiet time with the Word of God where you're really reading. And not just reading words that just go in one area or the other, where it really sticks with you. So again, I commend to you the Word of God, and I'm going to close with that verse again in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Okay? Amen. I'm going to. Okay.